following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Listen, it's good to be with you this morning. My name is Conan Sherlin, and hopefully it's a familiar face for a lot of you folks, although I know there's some folks that I don't know, so it's good to meet you. I'm the longtime BCM director over at Nichols State, and we love to come and do these what we call BCM Sundays. I think we did one almost exactly a year ago, I believe, was the last one that we did. And if my memory serves me correct, it was raining cats and dogs on that day also. And in fact, one of your roads almost seemed like we had to get a boat to get across. So I'm starting to see a trend here, either that it rains too much in Louisiana, or you guys seem to make it rain every time we come to speak. But we're glad to be here. We are going to start off this BCM Sunday doing something that we love to do, in that we're going to get a couple of college students up front to share some testimony with you guys. So y'all don't have to listen to me talk. Y'all get to listen to one of these youngins. And I'm going to tell you, man, this first one, she is a fantastic student. Cahill Piku is going to come up and talk. And listen, she's very nervous, so y'all give her a good round of applause as she gets up.
Like you said, oh, hi, that was so nice. Like you said, I'm Cahill, and my testimony is a little different because I was incredibly blessed to be born into a family that kept Christ as a strong foundation. So my mom made sure that we were at church every Sunday, that she knew that I knew Jesus from a young age. My Mimi was the same way. They put me in a private Christian school for 15 years of my life. So every morning I got to go and learn about Jesus. And I'm incredibly blessed because I know not everyone had that opportunity to be able to be introduced to who Jesus was and what he did for our sins from a very young age. But I was a good student. I was a good kid. I never did drugs. I didn't struggle with addiction. So in fifth grade, I gave my life to Christ. And I knew, I understood what he did for me. And I was willing to live my life for him. But the problem is that even though you go to a Christian school, does not mean that everyone's a Christian. You can sit in a garage, but that doesn't make you a car. And so I didn't have a lot of accountability. There wasn't true fellowship. So really, I was not doing as much for Christ as I should have been doing. Like I said, I was a good kid. So everyone was like, oh yeah, she knows Jesus. But I should have been proclaiming who he is to people that I knew probably didn't know Christ. And then I graduated from high school, and then my youth group actually went to a conference called Motion in Alabama, and I saw thousands of students my age worshiping God for who he is and what he's done and his constant faithfulness from generation to generation, and I thought, this is exactly what heaven feels like, and I want to live like this for Christ. Shortly after, you come off of the high of praising the Lord and living all for him, from church camp and everything. And I started college, and I said, I'm going to class and I'm going home. And that's what I did for about a month. And then I was introduced to the BCM, where I found true fellowship and accountability, and I've been able to see my faith in Christ grow. And that's really thanks to you guys, actually. The support that y'all give us, I would have just stayed stagnant in my relationship with Christ, and I wouldn't be able to see the way that he's moving and everyone. You know, after I gave my life to Christ also, like, there was a lot of struggles that I just had to wait on God for. My parents also split up, and, you know, there are financial situations, places to live, you know, whenever hurricanes come and destroy your house. And so there's a few verses, because there are a few different aspects of my testimony. So the first one is my favorite verse, which is Isaiah 40:31, which says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And so that one really helped me throughout my time of knowing Christ, of just making sure that I wait on him. Even times where I feel stagnant, I'm still waiting on him, and I know that he's going to still move because he's God and he can do amazing things. But also, due to finding fellowship, Hebrews 10:24-25 is also a really good verse that I like to tell everybody whenever I give my testimony, because it says, let us consider how to spur one another towards love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day approaching. And so being involved in discipleship and leadership, and just in the BCM in general, I've definitely seen my faith grow and increase greatly. And so thank y'all once again for your support, because my relationship with Christ would just be stagnant without what y'all do. So thank you. Next up, we have a newer member to our leadership team, and I personally, and I can say that a lot of us have also personally seen him grow since he's become involved, and so up next is Jacob Davis.
Good morning. How we doing, huh? Good day? A little rainy, not too bad. So my name is Jacob Davis. I'm pretty new to leadership. I started this semester. And I'm actually very new to my faith as well. I ended up accepting Christ like just last semester. Fortunately, it was amazing. But before Christ, unfortunately, wasn't raised up in the church and such. Wasn't given that opportunity. But it was very hard for me. I struggled a lot of mental issues, lots of depression and such. I couldn't stand to look at myself in the mirror most days. I felt very undeserving of love and lonely all the time. My mom was in the other room, just sitting on the couch, watching TV, and I was in my room. I knew she was there, but I just didn't feel it. I don't know. I was very lonely, and I would sit myself in the quiet space in my room, listening to sad songs or just going through it in my feelings, and it was not very fun. And eventually, about senior year of high school, life got me real bad, I'll tell y'all what. It really kicked me and beat me up, I'll tell y'all what. But my grandpa unfortunately passed away my junior year of high school. That was a big struggle for me. Love that dude, miss him a lot. And then eventually, unfortunately, a good buddy of mine, he committed suicide. And then I eventually tore my ACL. You can't see it, but I have a scar right here. Tore my ACL in my meniscus playing football, and that ended my whole senior football and track season. And then I got Bell's palsy shortly afterwards, so the left side of my face was just paralyzed. I felt like a freak. I did not like myself. It was really rough. And then I'm sitting here in my room alone to my own thoughts, feeling depressed and lonely and unloved, and it was not a good place to be. Fortunately, I'm still here today. And a good reason for that is because I came to BCM. I decided to come to an ice cream social night we had, just because I was new. I'd never been to college before, and I wanted to make some new friends and stuff, so I thought it would be a good idea. Best decision of my life, little did I know. Eventually, I was invited to go to Merge and go see the sermon of this good dude right here, huh? and then eventually, went to go get coffee with now a very good brother of mine, Clayton, right here. And we got coffee, and I ended up accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior that day. Thank you all very much. But now that it's been crazy now. You know, I feel like I was blind, you know, now I could see. That's how I felt truly. And like everything just felt fake and unreal. My emotions, the way I acted towards people, the way I feel like I could be happy. You know, I wasn't truly happy at all. You know, what I did to be happy was not happiness. And I feel so blessed. I feel so truly amazing to have the Lord in my life. I know he loves me. And I know that he will always love me and always be there for me. And so thankfully I know that now. Thank you.
All right. Good job, guys. Good job. You did great.
All right. Well, listen, I hope y'all are encouraged by hearing them talk as much as I was even hearing it, even though I've heard both of their testimonies before. It's always great to hear that next generation proclaiming Christ. Always great to hear them giving thanks where thanks is due, looking to Christ, looking to God. And man, y'all bless us by helping out that ministry over there that I get to daily get to hear these things, get to see these things, get to interact with these things. So listen, really what we should be doing this entire time is thanking you guys. So why don't y'all give them a round of applause? Because we couldn't do what we do without you guys. And so we're very appreciative of the support of this church, which has been for years, ever since I've showed up there, and even before then. And I apologize, y'all came and fed us this last weekend, or this last week. And it was delicious food. I heard such good things about the cheesy spaghetti, the desserts, that's right. Carrot cake was fantastic. You guys spoiled them over there. Set the bar too high for the next church that comes next Monday. So we appreciate y'all doing that. I apologize that I was not there. Me, just like maybe a lot of folks right now, as all this weather going up and down has resulted in me having quite a bit of congestion. So I know I sound terrible today, but hopefully I am not infectious or anything to be concerned about. But I missed on Monday, but I'm glad to be here with you today. If I could, and this is just for my enjoyment, there was a long time ago, before y'all had the pastor y'all have now, which I'm very thankful y'all have one, in which I would come out here probably, three out of the four Sundays in a month and speak with you guys. And it was a small little group that we'd all get together here. And even on Sunday nights, we'd just speak right here. How many people were part of that smaller group that I would come out and be with? It's good to see you guys. Come on. I am very encouraged to see all these new faces. I'm very encouraged to see folks that I didn't see when that was going on. I'm very thankful that y'all have the pastor y'all have now. And I tell you, man, I used to brag about that small nucleus, that core group. I used to say that's the nicest group of people I get to go speak at any given occasion. You know they're nice if they put up with me coming here to speak for months at a time, and somehow I didn't finish the church during that time. And so listen, I'm really encouraged, especially on such a bad weather today, to still see people coming out. And so it's good to see you folks. What I want to do now with just a little bit of time that I've got left, one thing I still remember from all those years ago is that you guys do those two-hour services. And so I want to make sure I get y'all out in just under 2 hours so that y'all have me back next time. No, I'm kidding. My college students would allow that. But one thing I want to do with just a little bit of time I've got left, and this is a familiar refrain. This is going to be a similar message to what y'all have heard in the past, is we're going to brag real quick about being Southern Baptist. Can I do that real quick? Can I brag about being Southern Baptist? That's right. And this is your first time hearing it. This is going to be all news to you. But Southern Baptist had a great idea years and years and years ago. When the number of Southern Baptist churches was increasing, they said, man, we want to have our autonomy. We want to have our individual churches. But we also want to work together so that we can accomplish things that we couldn't do individually. And so they started a program that's called the Cooperative Program. How many people here have ever heard about the Cooperative Program? Now you're talking. Okay, well, today everyone's going to hear about it. Cooperative Program is this union amongst Southern Baptist churches in which we said, hey, we absolutely value the individual church. We value the power of the individual church and the decisions that they can make towards their local autonomy. But we recognize that there's power in working together. And so these churches said, we're going to give an X amount of our tithing. We're going to give a percentage of the money that comes in. And we're going to give it to universal work, to work happening across the seas, to work happening in America, to work happening on college campuses. That has allowed Southern Baptists to start entities like the Southern Baptist Convention, to start entities like the International Mission Board. How many people have ever heard of the International Mission Board? Ooh, we need to have all hands up on this. So the Southern Baptist Convention has thousands of full-time missionaries living in every corner of the globe because of churches just like this one. Because you guys faithfully give to the cooperative program that allows that kind of joint work to happen. We, in fact, are going, we're taking a group of students, we're taking 16 students and staff to Taiwan to do some work with international missionaries there in April. And that is because of the cooperative program. If I get fired tomorrow, which if I don't start filling out expense reports, might actually happen. But if I get fired tomorrow, I'm going to continue as Southern Baptist simply because there is more that we can do together than we can do separate. And the impact that's all across the world is because of y'all's faithfulness to continue to give towards the cooperative program. On a state level, this church and the association involved helped support the Louisiana Baptist Convention, the LBC. And that allows the state to accomplish things that it couldn't do otherwise. Did you guys know that there's somewhere around 24 BCM staff throughout the state of Louisiana? Somewhere around 24. It sometimes fluctuates a little bit with people coming in and coming off. There are 28 major universities spread throughout Louisiana. And what I love about this commitment is y'all said this next generation, they're all going to come together to study. They're all going to be there full time. Why don't we get a presence on those campuses? And so y'all started working BCM, Baptist Collegiate Ministry. And through your funds, we were able to build buildings on many of those campuses, including at Nicholls State, where we're one of two religious organizations, us and the Catholic Center, that actually has a building right in the middle of campus. That these guys can come and sit in, these guys can come visit in, these guys can come and get to know each other in, these guys can come and hear the gospel in because of your commitment. You allow us to have a presence on that campus. It's entirely because of you. And it will continue to be entirely because of you if you continue to give through the Louisiana Baptist Convention. There are, this was done a couple of years ago. I need to update my piece of paper that I'm writing on. But a couple of years ago, there were somewhere around 249,000 university students in Louisiana. Think on that number. Nearly 250,000 were gathering at universities all throughout the state. And thank God, because of your guys' faithfulness, we've been able to put 24 people on those campuses to be there for them, to try to share the gospel with them as they come in. Now, that's still a daunting number. That still leaves quite a few individuals for each individual BCM director. But praise God amongst the cooperation for Baptist churches that allow us to do that. And we could not do it without you guys. So I hope every time I come to speak to y'all again, every time y'all see my face, y'all associate it with "that guy says thanks a lot." Because we do, in fact, owe you guys quite a bit. The Nicholls State BCM, which has had great success through the years, is your ministry, not just something that you read about in the Baptist Message or have that guy with the beard come and talk to you every now and then. It is, in fact, your ministry that y'all are a part of. Feeding us every semester for the last, 11, 15 years, something more than that. And even, y'all have even come out sometimes and fed some of our international students in the last couple of years. As well as providing key help for us during Ida, in the dark years, Ida and COVID years before that. And so we are beholden to you guys. Hence the reason every chance we get a chance to come and do a BCM Sunday, I hope we take advantage of it. Now listen, let me tell you just a little bit about what we do and how we do it. And again, this is going to be familiar to you guys before because we've talked about it. But I hope nonetheless you're encouraged by hearing it. Hudson Taylor, he was a famous missionary. He's now a well-regarded missionary. I don't know if at the time there was such a thing as a famous missionary. Hudson Taylor, he served in China in the 1800s. He says there were three stages in the work of God. Impossible, difficult, and then done. I like the way he words that. There's three things that we can do on God's behalf. Well, that's impossible. We could not accomplish that. There's no way we could do about it, man. It's too much for us. Well, I better pray. And then he says what? The second one. He says what? It's difficult. Well, we're going to try. We're going to see what we can do. Again, it's more than a single person can accomplish, but we're going to see what can happen. But we're going to give it to God while we're trying it. And then, of course, as a result of that, What's the third stage? That is done. This is a man who shared the gospel in an area where Jesus was not known. And he saw thousands coming to Christ and churches springing up on their own. When we're looking at the task before us, whether it's here in this community in Morgan City or whether it's a part of that campus there at Nicholls State, I believe that there's three steps for us as well. Impossible, difficult, and then done. We're not at done yet. And we're having you guys walk with us on those first two stages. God willing, we're going to see it happen. Y'all look with me real quick. I'm going to brag real quick about the first ever BCM director. Y'all look with me real quick at Acts 19. Acts 19. And again, some of you guys have probably heard this before. In Acts 19, I believe we have Paul becoming the first ever BCM director. And it has quite an impact. So let's read this together. It's going to be 19 verses 8 through 10. Just a little tiny bit here. And it says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly over a period of 3 months, arguing and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became hardened and would not believe, slandering the way in front of the crowd, he withdrew from them, taking the disciples and conducted discussions every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all of the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Okay, let's talk about this real quick. So we've got Paul during his missionary travels, and he's kind of following a similar MO. If you look back through Acts, we can see that when he arrived at cities, one of his favorite things to do was to find if they've got a synagogue and then go to that synagogue. And what commonalities would he have found at a synagogue? For you guys who are not aware, synagogue was where Jews would gather to worship. They would read scriptures, almost in some ways similar to a small church setting that was away from the temple. So these are spread all throughout wherever congregations of Jews had moved to, away out of the Holy Land. And so he shows up here in Ephesus, and he starts here at the synagogue. But he runs into a little opposition, right? What did it say some people started to do? And you have to apologize, or I have to apologize, if this is your first time hearing me talk. The only way I can keep college students awake is if I ask them questions. So I try to do that everywhere else. So he went to the synagogue first. Sorry, I'm bad-mouthing y'all. I went to the synagogue first, and then what happened? He ran into a little opposition. What happened? Some people started slandering, started speaking against him, right? They were opposed to the message he was doing. And so it says he said, all right, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. So he withdrew from there. And what was the next location that he went to? It was someone's hall. Who was it? Hall of Tyrannus. Right? Y'all see that in there? Now, the reason I think Paul was a BCM director, was a collegiate minister, was because who other than college students would call their professor tyrants? Right? Right? No, that's what it is. So Hall of Tyrannus just means that, Hall of the Tyrant. This was some kind of educational place. And sure, we don't know exactly what age range it is, but I believe it was some kind of higher education. And what would happen is in the middle part of the day when it got hottest, the professor would take his breaks. There'd be no lessons going on. That's when Paul would show up and start teaching. And he was just trying to encourage people. He was trying to show them what he'd learned. He was teaching them about Jesus. He was teaching them about the gospel message. Now we have three verses about this work that was going on at the Hall of Tyrannus. But what happened at the end? Y'all see what happened in 10? That second half, he was there. He went on teaching there for 2 years. 2 years, 24 months. And yet because of that, it says what at the end of 10? It says all of the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. And of course, what he's talking about is a Roman province of Asia, probably similar to modern day Turkey. And he says everyone within that vast state, all the people somehow heard the gospel because he was at this lecture hall. Now, how did that happen? Oh, I heard someone say it. He would teach them, right? And then they would take that knowledge back to their hometowns, wherever they were from, on fire for the gospel, and they would then preach the gospel back home. And that happened almost like it would an infection from one area starting out there in Ephesus and then spread to the entire Roman province of Asia. Thousands of individuals getting a chance to hear the gospel because Paul took time to teach at a place where higher education was happening. The first time we see that strategy paying off. And that is exactly why it is we want to do what we're doing right now. Because these guys, many of them are from South Louisiana. Some of them are not. Some of them are from different parts of Louisiana. Some of them are from different parts of the country. Let's hear it from Minnesota. Yeah, Minnesota. But our hope, and with your investment in us, what we're trying to do is to get them so on fire for the gospel that they can't help but share it when they go back home. That they bless the congregations that they become a part of. That they bless the communities that they're becoming a part of. And that Christ's fire goes out from them, resonating across many, many different lands, many different shores. And that more people can come to know who Jesus is because of the work that happens here on this campus. Just like we saw happening with Paul in Ephesus. This is what students can do. How about let me run you through a list of old students. Nicholas Zinzendorf, that guy had a rough name. He was 19 years old when he said, we need to have a fire for God. We need to have a fire for God, and I want to start a 24-hour prayer vigil. And so he got some of his fellow students. He said, let's pray. We're going to pray for 24 straight hours. I'll take an hour, you take an hour, and then we're going to have it all covered, and we're going to pray for God's hand at work. Do you know, he got so enthused, so filled with the Spirit that when he talked to his friends, they couldn't help but sign up. And that 24-hour prayer vigil continued for 100 years. How about that? Man, sometimes when I try to pray for 10 minutes, I'm looking at the clock thinking, what's happening? Come on, I'm running dry here. Students got so enthused about seeing God's hand at work that they started praying and didn't stop for 100 years. From that prayer meeting, a group called the Moravians began. And during their time, were the largest missions organization in the existence. All from 19, 20, 21-year-old students. How about Lottie Moon? How many people are familiar with Southern Baptist heroes? Lottie Moon was 23 years old when she turned her back on cultural expectations for what should happen in her life and instead said, God is calling me to go to Asia and to share the gospel. Where she then spent the rest of her life doing that deed. So much so that now when you give towards missions, many of you will give towards a Lottie Moon missions offering. She was 23 years old when she said do that. Haystack 5, anyone ever heard of these guys? This was 200 years ago. A group of students said we need to be praying for a revival to start in America. They're called the Haystack 5 because it started to rain. We can sympathize. It started to rain when they were getting together and they ran under a haystack and said they'd continue talking, continue praying. From that little group of five individuals meeting under a haystack, they started the first six mission sending agencies in North America, and they saw a great revival happen in America. We need more individuals praying under haystacks if that's what it takes. In England, a similar group called the Cambridge Seven, college students, got together and said, let's pray for a revival to happen across the world. They started the CIM, China Inland Missions. It existed for 20 years. 20 years after it started, 800 missionaries were being sent out because of those first seven college students said, we want to see God impacting the world. They're of the age to see it happen. And we pray to God that more and more movements like this, that I can stop reading these old guys, but instead quote the guys that are here right now to see how you guys are going to impact the world. To see how you guys are going to impact Morgan City, to see how you guys are going to impact Louisiana. Now, real quick, let's look at just scripture on how we're going to accomplish this. If y'all look with me in Colossians, turn with me to Colossians. We're going to go fast because I don't want to keep you late. Then you'll hate me. Look at Colossians real quick. This is a fantastic verse. After I became a Christian while I was at college, this verse really spoke words to me. It's Colossians 1:24. This is Paul talking. And you know, Paul, he's an odd guy. He's an odd guy. But he says in Colossians 1:24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for his body, that is the church. When I first heard that verse after becoming a Christian in college, I had no idea what it meant, to be perfectly honest with you, right? It was one of those verses you kind of put a star by and keep reading. Or you just kind of graze over and hope the rest of it makes sense. I had no idea. And I remember as I was just about to graduate college, I heard John Piper deliver a message that was entitled, Doing Missions When Dying is Gain. And he preached the entire message on this one verse. And man, it just blew my eyes open. Because what do we have happening here? First, we have Paul being strange again. He's rejoicing in his suffering. He's rejoicing that something's hurting. He's rejoicing that something is difficult. He's rejoicing that he's suffering. And then he says what? I'm completing in my flesh. What is he completing? What's it say? I'm completing in my flesh what is lacking, right? What's lacking in Christ's afflictions for his body? Now, that almost sounds heretical, right? Like, what is lacking in Christ's afflictions? And how could Paul fill up anything that's gapped there, anything that's lacking? I mean, this is borderline. We're going to have to kick him out of the church because he's saying this kind of stuff. But what John Piper did was he said he typed into his little concordance, he typed in the two different Greek words, filling up and lacking, and he found it occurred in only one other place. If you'll flip one page over to Philippians, look in Philippians real quick. He's talking about Epaphroditus here in Philippians 2. And really, it's 25 all the way down through 30. We have kind of what happened, but I'll give you some of the history here, then we'll read it. Epaphroditus had been sent with a gift from that church, and he had sought out Paul while he was in jail. And it says, in fact, what we find out here in Philippians is that Epaphroditus got very sick while delivering this gift, almost to the point of him dying. But he was able to find Paul, and he delivered the gift that had been given by the church. If you look down in verse, like, let's start like in 29. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and hold people like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry towards me. Now think on that for a second. The church took up a gift. Everybody gave money, put it in the pot. What was lacking in that gift at that moment? It had to be delivered, right? They'd sacrificially given. They'd contributed. But until it left that spot and got to Paul, it was incomplete. Now, what John Piper did was he said, we're going to take this and apply it to what we see in Colossians 1. Jesus' gift is already given. It's great. It's excellent. It's the means by which we are saved. What is the one thing that is still lacking in it that we could hope to fulfill? Sharing. It's bringing it from unknown to known. Is opening our mouth and letting Christ come out. And as long as y'all support us, we will open our mouths and let Christ come out on that college campus. So that, by extension, wherever they're at for the next 60, 70, 80, 120 years, they're going to open their mouth and let Christ come out. And my hope for you guys is that y'all are taking advantage of the situation and you're allowing yourself to be written into the greatest love story that exists in mankind between God and his people, and that you as well are opening your mouth and letting people hear that message. Paul was so zealous with it, he said, I rejoice even in my sufferings that I get a chance to open my mouth and Christ come out. That even if I get rocks thrown at me, if I get bit by snakes, if I shipwreck, if I suffer, if I'm starving, if I'm beaten, any of this, I rejoice because it allows me another opportunity to fill up what is lacking in the cross of Christ on behalf of his body. Let us all be similarly zealous, even if it doesn't cost us that much, which pray to God it will not cost us that much. Let us be similarly zealous in opening our mouth and letting Christ come out. As long as you guys are supporting us on Nickel State campus, I pray that that's what you know is happening over there, that students are having a chance to hear the gospel. Listen, I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have the folks, they're going to come up and they're going to do another song. If there's any conversation y'all need to have, you've got your minister here, and I'm sure there's deacons aplenty that would love to speak with you. If you need an idea on how do I open my mouth and let Jesus come out, man, come down. We'll chat with you. We'll pray with you. We'll see if we can help you figure out a way to do that. And if there's anything that we can do to bless you, we want to do it. I challenge you before you leave, make sure you grab one of these youngsters' hands and shake them. Because, man, I think their youth actually rubs off. You get about 5 years younger every hand you shake. At least that's what I've been telling myself for the last 11 years. But let me pray for us, and then we'll get that song going. God, thank you so very much that you include us in of this pursuit. God, thank you that you allow us to help you reach more people with the fact that you love them and you want to have a relationship with them. God, thank you so very much that through my very faulty actions, that through my stumbling and bumbling, yet even in that, I can still fulfill what is lacking in the cross of Christ. God, I pray for this group, this church. Lord, I pray that more and more people see you when they look at them. God, I pray that the way they love each other is infectious. God, that people who hear about it say, I want to be a part of it because, man, there's just something special there. God, I pray that people who do not have relationship with Jesus will come into a relationship with Jesus because of the love of these people. And God, we are so thankful. We're so thankful that that outreach there at Nickel State can happen because of their faithfulness. Lord, we love you and we want to see your name known. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.